discussed, it was the promise, the hope for peace for the Middle East. But then his withdrawal of the troops caused that war. So he's making as if he's taking the U.S. troops out of a war zone. It wasn't. He triggered this war. He created this war. He created this war. And so he has the responsibility to stop it, which could have been stopped by no-fly zone. So even we're not asking for the troops remaining there forever. We have asked for guarantees such as no-fly zone that would prevent this war, which he didn't.
And of course, we'll continue to cover this issue. Özlem Gonar, we want to thank you so much for being with us, Assistant Professor of Sociology and Anthropology at the City University of New York, and Congressmember Ro Khanna of California. Again, our condolences on the death of the Oversight Committee Chair Elijah Cummings. That does it for our broadcast. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. Our website is democracynow.org.
It's 8 o'clock, and this is KBOO Portland. Coming up in about 2 minutes, Joanne Hardesty and Voices from the Edge. She'll take your phone call, the phone number 503-231-8187. At 9 o'clock, Press Watch with Teresa Mitchell. She's back, and she has an interview with Green Party presidential primary candidate Howie Hawkins. Fight the Empire with Per Fogering at 9:30. Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein at 10. At 11, it's Between the Covers. And 11:30, it's Express Yourself.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, unless otherwise noted. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday at 4:30 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Passport to Empowerment on Friday, October 18th from 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Vitalidad Movement Arts Center in Portland.
Passport to Empowerment will raise funds to support projects in rural communities and around the world to improve access to affordable and renewable energy, safe drinking water and sanitation systems, fuel-efficient cook stoves, and more.
Again, that's Passport to Empowerment on Friday, October 18th from 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Vitalidad Movement Arts Center, 116th Southeast Yamhill Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. There's been a lot going on since I've last spoke with you. Today, my plan is to give you an update of happenings at City Hall, but I want to start talking about Fred Meyer at Gateway. As you may know, the workers at Fred Meyer were recently embattled over a new contract to provide fair working conditions and a fair wage. I don't live too far from Gateway's Fred Meyer, so it's kind of my neighborhood Fred Meyer. I'm not a big fan, but I just happened to go over the other day to pick up a couple of things, and I was absolutely appalled at the architectural change that took place at Fred Meyer. It feels like a mouse in a maze when you shop at Gateway Fred Meyer. What I have learned is they've put up all kind of security gates. So if you're shopping for clothes, you can't go and shop for food. You have to actually walk all the way back through the clothing area and come out the entryway that you came in. For health and beauty aids and other sections of the store, you have to actually buy your purchase in that section before you leave. I have never in my life had a shopping experience that felt like I was shopping from a cage position. I was pretty appalled. And then when I spoke to the workers, who I knew wasn't their policy, they weren't the people who said this is a good idea. When I spoke to many of the cashiers, they said that they are being just yelled at all day long because customers are so just disgusted with this new model. And I say, why? And of course, the response was, well, you know, there's a lot of exits and people steal. I said, well, they steal at every Fred Meyers, but they don't actually have these gates as if people are shopping in cages. What people normally do if they have a problem with theft is they hire security. That's what people do when they're trying to eliminate theft in a retail environment. They do not put people in cages and expect them to pull their wallet out over and over and over again to make purchases when they have a host of things that they're shopping for. I was so disgusted I left. I said, I am never shopping at this store again. And I've actually written a letter to the corporate headquarters of Fred Meyers. Of course, Kroger is the company that owns Fred Meyer nowadays. And to me, my question was, do you have the same design model in Southwest Portland that you now have in Gateway? I don't think you do. In fact, I know you don't, because I've been in that Fred Meyer and I've never seen people shopping in cages. There's a reason why people don't shop at Fred Meyer's anymore in Gateway. I was wondering why the lot always looked almost empty. I thought maybe people didn't know that the union contract had been signed. I think people should actually vote with their money and not spend one penny at Fred Meyer and Gateway. Because if that's how they treat customers before they actually spend a penny, why would I spend my hard-earned money in that location? I am absolutely disgusted. And if you share my disgust, I hope you will call Gateway Fred Meyer, write the corporate headquarters of Kroger, and let them know that this is... this is discriminatory. This sends a very poor message that you don't trust your customers before they even walk in the store. And quite frankly, you are losing big money because people are not going to accept that you have decided that there are some things that people might steal, so therefore you got to buy it right now. And there are other things that people might steal, so we're going to put you in these gated cages while you do your shopping. I found that appalling. Please, if you're, and especially if you live in the Gateway area, have you shopped at that Fred Meyer? I would love to know whether or not you feel the same way. I didn't even recognize it when I walked in. I thought, man, it's been a long time since I've been here. And now I know why. I will never, ever, ever, as long as they are treating customers like thieves, I'm never going to walk in that door again. That's my rant about Fred Meyer Gateway. And I, quite frankly, I won't shop at any Fred Meyer if they treat their people of color customers as if they're thieves before they even walk in the door. I'm outraged by this. I think it's totally unacceptable. And I think that we have the power to make them change it. We have the power because we can vote with our money and we can use our money elsewhere. Okay, in a rant, I'm done. Let me tell you what's going on at City Hall. And by the way, if you want to give me a call and tell me what's on your mind, the phone number is 503-231-8187. This is, as always, has been a very, very, very busy week at City Hall. Yesterday, we actually approved what we call the spring bump. The fall bump. And what that just means is that we now have additional resources that we can put into programming before the next budget process starts. I am learning that I am always either just ending a budget process or I'm just starting a budget process at the City of Portland. But some good things did come out of our votes this week. For one, the City Council is in agreement that we will hire an outside attorney to negotiate Portland Police Association's new contract. As most people know, that contract is up in June of 2020. One of the things that I was very clear about is I wanted to make sure that when we started these contracts, that we had an attorney that we would hire, that we would actually have working for the city of Portland and the people of Portland, and would not be limited or intimidated by the negotiations. I'm happy to say that my colleagues agreed, and we now are in the process of hiring an independent attorney who will be who will lead the Portland Police Association's negotiations. One other thing I want to share about the police issues is that the mayor, Mayor Ted Wheeler, and I will do two community meetings around the new police contract, and we will be reaching out to the public to ask the public what their vision is of policing in the city of Portland. So stay tuned. We're going to start advertising those two community meetings. And I will make sure, of course, that KBOO knows so that we can get the info out. I'm going to go to the phone line. Good morning, Kyra. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, here is... Hi, good morning.
Thank you. I just had a comment about the last topic you were discussing on Fred Meyer.
Yes.
And the mouse maze that you go through to purchase items.
Yes, yes.
And I live near the interstate Fred Meyer, and it has changed to be like that. I don't know about in the clothing section, but I know in the health and beauty aid section.
Right.
And yeah, funnels you through, and you, and it's really frustrating, and especially if you don't know what you're looking for and you have to go in and out of that section.
Right.
So that, in addition to many things that stores like huge chains owned by Kroger,
yes,
are doing, are like putting U scans in the stores. So there are less employees to actually,
yes,
provide customer services.
Yes, yes.
Putting money services in their customer service desk. So in effect, it becomes a bank, which, by the way, they're not offering that kind of service. My husband tried to buy quarters there last week and was run out of the store like he was asking for free money.
Really?
From the customer service desk at the Interstate Fred Meyer. Yeah, it was very interesting. And then there's, in addition to that, there is, I don't know if you've noticed, when you go down the aisle, you're not just bombarded by other shoppers who are trying to get their carts around those small corners, but there are now these giant warehouse-style carts where workers are shopping for the online shopping aspect.
Oh, yes, yes.
Kroger services.
Yes.
Which is another indication that they do not welcome customers into their stores.
Yes.
They do not value customers in their stores. They only value the stakeholders in their companies who are demanding to have continuing profits off of the backs of their employees who have been bartering for, I think you discussed earlier,
yes,
for better practices,
better pay,
in the workplace,
right,
better benefits,
right,
everything, which we all know really those benefits shouldn't be tied to our employment,
yes,
when everyone has the right to health care,
yes,
not just because they're employable.
Oh, you're
so
singing my song.
That's what I wanted to say. I wanted to bring some attention to some of the other unwelcoming aspects for customers when they go into a Kroger store, which doesn't just cover Fred Meyer. This is QFC. And I think a number of different chains here in the Portland area.
Well, I think we have the opportunity to actually be very loud with our money. When I told you I'm not going back in a Gateway now, I know I can't go to Interstate.
Yeah.
Right? So I appreciate your call. I appreciate the additional information. This is absolutely outrageous. And quite frankly, if more people just said, heck no, I'm not shopping like this. I'm not shopping where I feel like I'm in a cage. That's just not going to happen. Thank you for your
exactly.
call. I appreciate it. Have a great day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Good morning, Linda. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to put a word in for Gateway. I know
okay.
it's not the best in the world, but in the chain, it does have the highest theft per hour.
Well, it may have.
What do you think, say, Major?
That may be true, but what normally happens if you have high theft is that you hire security. You don't.
There is security in the store.
Yeah, there's well, then you don't need the gates. You don't need to be putting people in cages. It's not welcoming. It's not a welcoming place to spend your money. So maybe you think it's okay. For me, I just have to tell you, for me, it is not.
No, I don't think it. I don't think it's great. It's inconvenient. I do know there's a low unemployment right now. It's real hard to get enough people there to work.
See, I don't think that.
I'm just saying that there are some pressures.
I don't think that's true. I mean, what I know is they don't want to hire more staff because they want people to check themselves out. This is the new trend, right? That's why we keep getting all those "you check yourself out" thing, and they have one cashier that's open with long lines.
Right. That's part of it's that, and part of it is fear of Amazon and Walmart going into the food business and trying to cut their overhead because they're in a very competitive stance. Now, I've been a union organizer,
right.
I've done stuff like that.
Right.
I also been in management, and I know that they do have pressures. Whether they handle them as gracefully as they could is another question, but you'll see this as a common trend among the corporations, and the whole corporation problem is a systemic.
Well, I got to tell you,
problem.
We have to actually fight back against being treated like we are mice and mazes. That cannot be acceptable. Oh, okay, this is just the new norm. That is not acceptable to me. I think that is just outrageous, especially when it's only happening in communities that have high numbers of people of color. They didn't do that in Southwest Portland. They did it at Interstate and Gateway.
We might. I don't know what stadium looks like right now. And I wish there was more people of color that came into Gateway, but...
Well, we're not going to now. Nobody wants to shop in cages. Who's going to go to Gateway and shop in cages? I'm not. And that's my neighborhood. But I absolutely refuse to shop where I feel like I'm suspect the moment I walk in. That is not okay. And, you know, there's not a retail operation that doesn't have theft. But no, this is the first time I've seen this cage approach to people spending their money. Just my humble opinion. I appreciate your call.
Okay.
Well, have a good day. Bye bye.
Vendors in Hollywood Hawthorne about their theft rate sometimes.
I have no doubt about theft rates, right? And in fact, the last time they produced numbers, they said that the theft was employee theft. When Safeway closed on 122nd, they said it was because of employee theft. Again, I can't believe that, because if employees steal, then they would be fired and prosecuted, right? If a community right. member steals, they would be charged and prosecuted, right? It doesn't make sense. I personally just cannot accept that that's the solution to theft. I appreciate your call. Have a good day. We have other... Good morning, Lou. Welcome to KBOO. Hello, Lou. We lost Lou. Any other callers? Lou, give me a call back. All right, got my blood pressure up a little bit talking about Fred Meyer and Kroger. But I think it is important for community members, every community member, to actually challenge this new corporate model of, yeah, come in, we'll suck up your money, but we're going to treat you like you're a criminal until you prove otherwise. I just don't think that that's good. There's no customer service involved in that. And I feel for the poor employees who have to work there every day, because every day customers are coming in totally disgusted with this new model of corporate security. Not acceptable. Never will it be acceptable. And I hope that the community is outraged enough to make sure that Kroger, the parent company, and Fred Meyer, the local chain, and as another caller said, QVC. I haven't been in QVC, so I'm hopeful that it doesn't look like Gateway or Interstate Fred Meyer does. But if it does, I won't shop there either. I'm gonna go back to the phone line. Good morning, Barbara. Welcome to KBOO. Hello, Barbara? Are you there? Hi. Good morning.
Yes, I am. Hi. Good morning. I just wanted to let you know that Safeway on Woodstock is pulling some of the same kinds of things. Their checkout for people in the quick, single self-checkout
right.
has turned into a big maze. They have now they lock half of the store off at 8 p.m. and they're open from midnight and beyond. And then they also have these big goon, this isn't like, a guy, nice-looking guy in a blue shirt and
right.
pants being security. We've got big guys that look like they're on the SWAT team.
Whoa.
In Safeway. And I went up to them the first time I saw him, and this guy was arms crossed, growling at all the shoppers. And I went up to him and I said, "Is there something wrong?
Right, what's going on? Right?
Yeah, exactly. You're making me very afraid.
Right.
And then I let him, and then I let also the store secure the store supervisors know that if I have to be this afraid to be in your store, I probably need to take my money across the street.
Yep. That's me.
I spoke to some of the other people there who worked there even, and they had the same feelings. And yesterday or the day before, I walked in for an item, and there's like weapons on these people, like a police belt with tasers and stuff. And it's
whoa.
Like, what is going on?
Right, right.
That's... I don't see this at New Seasons across the street.
Right. Wow. And, maybe this is a new corporate model, right? We will have security follow you around, and we'll put you in cages while you shop and spend your money.
Right. I'm a 65-year-old woman.
Right.
I shouldn't be very frightening to
right.
any of these people. It's ridiculous. And I've lived in Southeast Portland almost all my life. I was born here.
Right.
It's appalling to see what's happened. And while I have you on the phone, we keep developing the heck out of us. They're squeezing us
yes.
in so tight here in Brentwood, Darlington.
Yes.
I'm going to have 11 new domiciles, 3 on the corner next to me on my line, and 8 new ones across the street. Is there going to be a tree left? Absolutely not. And you hear on the radio, we want to increase the canopy
yes.
on the east side of Portland.
Right.
And yet they do everything in the development of it to preclude that. We have no more park space. We have no more, they're packing more. And we have no more public space, nothing for the addition of all these people. And there you have it. That's my
I appreciate your call. And I know that it is frustrating all over the city of Portland, as it looks like there's no rhyme or reason to how development is happening.
No.
We will be at City Council later this year voting on a full package of zone changes that will allow more single-family homes on a single-family lot up to 6, right, if they go up. There are a lot of people that are unhappy about that. I would encourage you to write the City Council and share your thoughts on the development and how it's impacting your lived experience.
Right. I'm 65 and I'm thinking I can't stay here anymore.
Mm.
I mean, it's getting to the point where it's just too much noise, too much traffic, too many people packed in. And the last thing is, it's not an either or discussion. And the whole idea of,
right.
The metro boundary. Oh,
right.
If we don't do this, what it seems to me is that you end up ruining everything that we value mm-hmm. in the circle. Then you're going to move it out and destroy everything outside there.
Right.
I just don't think this metro boundary idea, this either or, has ever been a well thought out plan.
Well, I really appreciate your thoughts. Thank you so much for calling me this morning. And again, I would encourage you to, if you can, put it on paper. Email is fine. Email us all or at the same time so that we know that everybody got the same letter or everybody has the information. And that's very helpful.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Joanne.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate your call. Have a great day. 503-231-8187. I am talking about changes that are coming next year as far as the Portland Police and that new contract, and talking about this outrageous experience I had at Gateway Fred Meyer, shopping in cages. It is the first and last time I will ever have that experience, because I'm just not going to spend my money where people just assume that I'm a criminal before I've actually walked in the door. Back to the phone line. Good morning, Lou. Welcome to Cable. Good morning.
Good morning. Good topics as usual. I'm glad to see you actively questioning and at least informally boycotting on corporations voting with one's dollars.
That's right.
At Portland State, there's five or six of us that have been talking about two companies in particular that are retailers, Fred Meyer being one, and then there's a boycott against Walmart to end gun violence, because one in five bullets bought in the U.S. is bought at Walmart. But in terms of Fred Meyer and people's not just shopping experience, but worker experience,
right,
as well, even though they just settled the contract, one of the main organizers we have, who's an older woman, is switching from one of the Southeast Fred Meyers, not Gateway, but the one on Hawthorne.
Right.
She's told us at a couple meetings that she's gotten her prescriptions for 8 years at Hawthorne Fred Meyer, but she's also tried doing organizing meetings for housing as an issue. And the security guards there, they haven't done the cage part yet, but they both pressure her for being too assertive or trying to organize something as a group, or saying that she wants to file a customer complaint about the prescription office there. And Fred Meyer's been, and there's also a couple of people that come to meetings that just got fired from Fred Meyer because they weren't part of the union. So Fred Meyer seems like a questionable corporation. And shopping with your dollars, as those of us who've done organizing on boycotts in the past, is one of the most effective ways. You can't vote in elections every day, but you can choose other places to shop each day.
Absolutely. I tell them at the store, I'm writing a letter to corporate. There's just absolutely no way I'm going to shop in a store where I feel like it's all about them watching me, right? And making sure, assuming that I'm going to be a thief before I even walk in the front door.
True. Well, there's a question I was going to ask you as an organizer and a city council person. Mm-hmm. Do you think, like we've also at PSU, we're going to do a series of community forums on the 2020 elections and candidates, one on the Walmart boycott for to end gun violence. But the first one we're going to do is the night before Halloween, on the code change that Chloe's been proposing for diversity and equity. And you're welcome to come, of course. We're expecting a few of the anti-people that have been showing up at City Council to come. But we're looking for people who are interested in pro-diversity and pro-equity advocates showing up. But my question about that is we seem to be running into people who conflate or want to, and this may tie into the thing about shoplifting at stores and security measures. Do you think that because the homeless problem, which is being attacked by different directions, like Homer and the real estate people versus Deborah Kaforia and council in different aspects, the homeless problem bleeds over into suspecting everyone of stealing things at Fred Meyer or at other stores, or bleeds over into the debate about why dignity and equity is kind of a bad idea, or the process is bad because there's too many houseless people that are infringing on what, landowner rights or the traditional neighborhood association? So that's basically my question. I don't know if you want to talk about it, but I can either stay on or either way.
I am happy to answer it, but I can answer it without you being on the line.
No, that's
I appreciate
fine. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. In answer to yes, I do think that people are using houseless individuals as the reason why some of these measures are being put in place. I certainly think that corporations are, especially since this administration in D.C. has been in place, are just about profits, right? It has nothing to do with customer service, has nothing to do with whether or not people feel welcome when they walk into your establishment. It's all about how much money are we going to be able to make today. One of my earlier callers talked about now they have this online, right, where people can sit home and make their shopping list, and employees run around like filling orders so that either people pick it up curbside or that it gets picked up by one of the companies that actually delivers groceries. I think for some people that's probably a very good thing, but quite frankly, I wouldn't even do it by phone. I just would not spend my money in that kind of establishment. So I'm going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Sean. Welcome to K-Boo.
Well, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'm not calling about the Fred Meyer issue. I'm actually calling about the I just read about this because I didn't know that Schnitzer owns an old jail site that he has offered to the city. It's funny that the last caller had brought up homelessness at the end.
Right.
So what I'm wanting to know is that Schnitzer said that he has offered it and been waiting for a deal from the city to want to take advantage of it as eventually possibly being a homeless shelter.
So let me just say, I just love when rich people actually use a straw buyer to buy a property dirt cheap and then want to put the city on the hook to fully fund it at somewhere around $35 to $40 million annually. Right.
Well, let me just first state, I had no idea that it even existed. We either, you know, whether he owned that, I didn't even know that jail site existed or he owned it. It was something I just happened to read in the paper.
Gosh, we've been talking about that. I was working for Multnomah County when that jail was built. It was never used as a jail. It has been reviewed over and over and over again over the last 12 years.
What's the name of that jail site?
Wapato. Wapato.
Same thing. Now, the reason I'm calling about it is because I read about it in the paper the other day.
Right.
I'm almost certain it was not Wapato. It was another site that's 11 miles out of town.
No, so let me tell you. They have changed the name. They're calling it some kind of wellness village.
Oh, okay.
Right? It is Wapato Jail.
Yeah,
it is.
But
again, right? So Schnitzer used a straw buyer to buy it dirt cheap, right?
Right,
and
okay.
Then he got Volunteers of America to go shop this wellness village all over town, right? And then he had the audacity to have this press conference recently to say it's the city's fault that they're not funding this. Now, Homer Williams, right? Right? Now, Homer Williams and Mr. Schnitzer had a press conference a couple of years back saying that private business could deal with homelessness better than the public.
Right,
Mr. Homer Williams got the city of Portland to give him land for free for 5 years to waive all the permitting costs, right? And now the city of Portland is funding his so-called, the name just went out of my head. So this homeless camp downtown, right, for single folks, the name is just gone out of my head. And guess what? The city, again, and the county are funding the operation costs. They did not raise, so when they had this press conference about how private business was going to do it, they actually if Transition Project or Central City Concern got land donated, got fees waived, and got $1 million+ annual operating budget for 3 years, I think they may have made a different decision about where they would have invested those dollars, right? But they didn't, right? So we have rich people trying to pretend that they're altruistic and they're like trying to do what's right for the public, and what they're trying to do, quite frankly, is get an ongoing payday from the city of Portland.
I didn't know that transition happened because I used to live in Portland. I live in Corvallis now,
right?
Oh, I'm not so up on it, but I had no idea that Schnitzer took over basically control of what was Wapato.
Yes.
And that whole ridiculous transaction.
Yes, yes.
But, I blame, the city not jumping on that when it was available.
Well,
and the amount of money of the taxpayers.
Well, what you have to understand is that it has been studied as a place to provide social services over and over and over again over a decade. Mm-hmm. And every time it was studied, it was said that this was not an appropriate place to do that, right? For a whole host of reasons, right? A, no services there. B, way far out outside of town. C, not accessible to the services that folks who are houseless need. I mean, on and on and on, right? So they are tricky people. Because when you have rich people,
well, I don't want to hold on the line for others, but
no, I want to have this conversation because
I've been feeling about Wapato initially, because yes. When I was living there, I was writing letters about it. Okay,
right.
My feeling about it, arguments back and forth.
Right.
But my feeling about it is, if a Homer Williams and developers can talk and create about, we need to create and build these communities where people don't have to get in their car and travel. They have shops they can walk to, and it's a self-sustaining community, and on
right.
That I didn't see the reason why Wapato couldn't become the same thing.
Right.
Even though it was 10 miles out of town,
right.
Why can't they have a shuttle service that shuttles them in? To the
well,
service?
You know, they could, because Schnitzer and Homer have enough money that if they wanted to open up this wellness center at Wapato, they could.
Right. No, I got it. I see the reverse virtuousness, because I want to remind people, because so many in Portland now are too young to know this about Homer Williams. But, you know, he created the whole Pearl thing.
Yes, he did.
He bent over backwards to help him out, and he got all sorts of subsidies and everything.
Yes.
People had meetings about it and so forth and so on about whether they wanted or not.
That's right.
He came out, and you may know this, a lot of people know this, he came out not too many years ago and stated, the fact is, it was all worked out all after all the meetings and everything was just a sham.
Yes.
But, you know, it's not surprising. I mean, but he was honest. Years after the fact, came out and said it didn't matter, the meetings didn't matter, because we already had it worked out with the city. It was going to happen anyway.
You know, it's amazing to me the people that...
And that was in the Oregonian.
Yes. And so this is a gentleman, Homer Williams is a gentleman that doesn't ever come to the city council and make a presentation as to why his scheme is a good scheme. It never happens in public. I'm a sitting city commissioner, and so when I find out that Homer Williams got operating costs, for a houseless navigation center is what they call it, this navigation center, right? You know, what people need is permanent housing that they can afford to live in. They don't need Homer Williams creating some big tent city and then having people have to make appointments to come in to get services.
Why I thought it was a joke that he all of a sudden steps in years later and says, oh, I want to help the homeless out in there. Kind of reverse virtuousness when it's really all just about, again, him trying to make a profit off of it.
Yes. Yeah. And that's exactly what Schnitzer is doing, right? Schnitzer want, and I asked Kay Turan, I said, so is he giving you the land? Oh, no. He's going to lease it to us. Sure. Right.
Well, so thanks for clarifying that for me, because I didn't know that transition. So what's the name of it now if it's not Wapato?
It is still Wapato because they haven't changed it, but they have some fancy wellness village title. But that's basically what...
I can't remember what it is either.
It's what they've been trying to sell to governments. And quite frankly, why would we give him $20 to $40 million a year when what we should do is put the $20 to $40 million a year into permanent housing that people can afford to live in?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, Portland's become a mess. I hate to say this. But, you know, even down here in Corvallis,
right.
It's unfortunate that most governments, big and small, pay nothing but lip service. There was a great property just a mile or two out of town that would have been perfect, right on the bike lane.
Right.
So commercial property they could have bought, because they've been talking about the home. I've seen it grow here in the 7 years I've been here.
Right.
It's really unfortunate. It's happened everywhere because inequality is getting bigger and bigger.
Yes, it is. And, you know, and we have to just
and they don't do anything about it. So, you know, anyway.
Well, we're trying. We're trying, but we're not going to invest in some rich man's payday. I have no interest in that.
The city's got to stop giving lip service.
That's right.
Done as well.
Thank you. Appreciate your call. Have a great day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Hello, Harry. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Two things. First, about the Fred Meyer.
Yes.
Before they went on strike, there was a boycott of Fred Meyer, and because they have a two-tier pay system.
Oh, right. That's right. Yes.
But problem is, the news media or anyone didn't tell us after the contract negotiation what happened. Do they still have a two-tier, or or not, because the first tier was like $13.50 an hour.
Right.
The next one was $17.50 an hour.
Right.
Well, $17.50 is a living wage. $13.50 isn't.
Right. That's right. Yeah. And I remember they were boycotting because actually they were paying men and women different rates.
Yes. Yeah. And so, but no one's really said what happened since they signed the contract.
You know, I had...
And hopefully someone will call in and tell us.
I hope so. And actually, I was going to bring the union president in this morning, but he was unable to make it. But if no one tells us today, I will make sure the next time I'm here to let people know whether or not that was resolved in the contract. I would have to assume it was, otherwise they wouldn't have come to an agreement, but I should check.
Okay, and next is the last caller was talking about WAPATO.
Right.
Well, what's going on, I'm trying to figure out why the county sold it for such a cheap price. And second is that in unincorporated area where they put it, well, all that area now has water and power, which means I'm surprised Schnitzer, what's going to happen, it's going to be a housing development, which will make him billions of dollars.
Actually, no. What he said, he's going to put a warehouse in there, right? And in fact, the day after I was elected, he got a permit to tear it down. But apparently, because as you may remember, my opponent thought it was a great idea to put poor people in jails and provide services out there. And the day after I overwhelmingly won, he got a permit to tear it down. And sometime between then and now, he came up with this scheme that he has Volunteers of America trying to sell all over town. Because Schnitzer is really good at having a front person, and this time it's Volunteers of America's Kate Turan. And again, so when I talked to her, I said, is he donating the land? She said, no. I said, oh, so there will be a lease agreement. Yes. So, again, I mean, what you have is rich people who are pretending that they're doing something out of the goodness of their heart.
Yeah, but like I said, that property now could be a housing development. They can make so much money. That's what's eventually what's going to happen. But the issue is also now that the city of Portland has gained 100,000 people since 2010. The Multnomah County, for some reason, last year they closed one of their dormitories in the jail at Inverness.
Right.
Now they have two of them empty.
Right.
The one downtown has two empty, and recently, about 3 months ago, they start getting rid of all their parole and probation officers.
So really?
They're trying to stream all this, and it's just like, and if you look at the news, well, people they'll arrest somebody, they're booked and released.
Well, let me. Last year, 52% of people arrested, but for being homeless, would have never been arrested. So what we have, right, is police picking up people for poverty crimes, right, trespassing, loitering, littering, anything they can think of, right. If you are arresting people only because they're houseless and people are uncomfortable with what they look like, that is not a good use of public safety resources. That is absolutely not why we have 911, and certainly not what the police should be doing. And so that is the problem. And so, which means, if you're telling me that they're laying off jail staff and they're laying off probation officers, it's because the system has acknowledged that they're arresting people that should not have ever been arrested in the first place. I see that as progress.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Have a great day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. We're getting minus on minutes, so call if you want. I'm sorry, next caller? Good morning, Mike. Welcome to K-Boo.
Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm uninformed. I want you to spend about 5 minutes. Give us a description exactly what's going on at Fred Meyer's, would you, for the uninformed like me?
Well, what Fred Meyer has done is redesign some of their stores in specific neighborhoods so that either you have to pay in that little area, so you would have a three-hour area, like the health and beauty aides are now in this four-row area, and you cannot go from the health and beauty aids to buy food or to go buy plants. You have to actually pay for it in that little cubicle area that you're in. When I went to look at clothing, you can now not get out of the clothing section and then walk towards the food or walk towards plants or walk towards any other area of the store. You have to circle the entire clothing store and come back out of the entrance you came in. It is
That's
so
insanity.
Yes, it's so inconvenient for customers. And when I
it's immoral. It's illegal. I can't believe it.
Me either.
I grew up in North Portland, Northwest Portland. Oh my goodness!
But it's interesting because they're only doing this in certain parts of town. So it is the interstate, yeah. Fred Meyer, I understand, and it was the Gateway, which I saw with my own eyes. They're not doing this in Southwest Portland.
Of course not.
Right? So the question is, why should people who live in communities with high numbers of low-income people be treated differently than communities that have more affluent people when they go to spend their own money?
Of course. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So that's it.
Oh, Zeke Kyle. Oh, goodness. Well, thank you.
You are very welcome. Now you are informed.
Making my blood run cold.
Yes.
That's scaring the devil out of me. That's making the hair on the back of my neck stand up.
Yes. It is not. Wait till you see it. If you see it, you will be even more outraged.
I'll probably be crying. Oh, gosh. Thank you, Joanne.
You are welcome. You have a great day. Thanks for the call.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. Good morning, Mitch. Welcome to K-Boo.
Hey, thanks for opening this can of worms up.
You're welcome.
As a Fred Meyer employee, almost not by choice, I got deprofessionalized when I was an investigator of credit card complaints at Wells Fargo back when the financial thing happened, I found that with that on your resume, about the only job you're going to qualify for is minimum wage plus 20 cents, and it's actually less than minimum wage working at Fred Meyer, which I now do, because the union, UFCW, and I'm a pro-union person,
right?
But you're going to have a hard time getting them to explain why they ratified a settlement with Kroger I'm classified as a grocery worker, even though I'm with their e-commerce division that wheels those big clumsy things around the store to look like Amazon.
Right.
And I've been trying to ask my union rep why the union has never demanded equal media time to explain the three things that Kroger has done to buy out their competition coast to coast. And Albertsons, people think Albertsons and Safeway is now one company. They're being held by Cerberus Capital Holdings.
Oh.
And it's all about a different business model that has nothing to do about making a better shopping experience for the customer.
Right.
And it certainly has nothing to do with providing a living wage to their workers, because part of their business model now is deprofessionalization, part-timing, and using a federal subsidy. You see, when they took full-time employees and part-time them,
right?
I can't get more than 20 hours a week, and they don't have to provide me more than a week in advance of what my schedule is going to be, so try getting a second and a third job.
Whoa.
When that's all you can get. I'd like to know why UFCW... I voted against this acceptance of the settlement a week ago because the union was trying to sell it as this great thing. It's 95 cents, Joanne, for grocery workers per hour, 95 cents above. So I'm making $12.70 now, an hour, $12.70 an hour now, and I will make $13.65 in a year, and it is impossible to live on. And when I talk about a federal subsidy, if you go online and type in Kroger's, which is based in Cincinnati, type in Kroger's and the highest rate of workers qualifying for food stamps, you will find that no media And the union doesn't demand that the media talk about this federal subsidy.
Wow.
Because if they are paying profits to their shareholders,
right,
while they're expecting the taxpayer to pay their workers food, that's a federal subsidy. They're not paying a living wage.
Right. So they've taken a Kmart approach to employees, right?
And
wow.
We can't get it talked about, and I've asked USCW why they don't talk about it. I'm the only one that writes letters to the editor at the Portland Tribune or Pamplin or
right.
the Oregonian. You never see a UFCW union rep on their own, not even saying they're writing on behalf of the union, because
right.
I understand they have
right.
to be careful what they say, but say, hey, I've been a union UFCW member, and our members are making $12.70 an hour while Kroger's profits are off the charts, and he's living on food stamps. What is that a part of? That's part of no information going out,
right.
and consumers also just wanting the best deal for themselves.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Now,
well, I mean, I had no
being,
idea. I had no idea
exactly.
that pay was so low, right?
Exactly. And you're getting it double because you're getting the racial thing about
yes.
they're viewing you
yes.
as... But that's part of deprofessionalization
that's
and
right.
understaffing.
Right.
They could hire people, like you said,
yes.
who were professionals in the business, but then they'd have to pay a professional wage.
That's
they
right.
don't want to do that.
That's right.
They want to do everything on the cheap.
Well,
and they're going to turn around and tell you that they're doing it for the customer experience.
Right.
Then why did the Wall Street Journal, no Marxist newspaper, complain about Kroger's executives trying to compete with Amazon, but without investing
right.
the way Amazon has invested.
Right. I am so sorry to hear that. Well, I'm going to try to get the UFCW president here.
Dan Clay is his name. Please do. And,
yes.
and let him know that at least one person at his meetings has voted down. And it's not easy for me to do it. I'm facing eviction here in Beaverton.
Mm.
I you know, at $12.70 I couldn't make the rent, but I
right.
certainly at $13.65 will not be, and that's what our union is telling us was a great labor victory.
Oh, you're breaking
and
my heart.
And there's not a journalist out there to dig deeper and say, why does Kroger have the highest rate of employees living on food stamps?
I think that is worthy of a little investigation. I appreciate
you.
Your call, and I will ask questions.
I appreciate you retaining a role at community radio station while you're in government. It's the best of both worlds, and I just hope my fellow citizens become less consumers and more citizens.
Yes. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Good morning, Joe. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning. It sounds like your last caller was speaking to the question that I was also calling in to speak to, but I'll throw in a little bit to mention that, or to emphasize, I would love to hear you get Dan Clay on. I met him at the Labor Notes Troublemaker School, specifically him and some other folks speaking on a panel about how to build a more democratic union. And
right.
he talked about how in his union, he was part of this reform caucus. And that, we talked about kind of like the strategy involved in like, what does like democracy really look like when we talk about bringing it into the workplace and
right.
into the way we advocate through our union.
Right.
So I expect him to be very responsive if you can get him on air. And he was very well spoken.
Wonderful. Well, that's the plan. I'm going to reach out and get him scheduled to come on so we can have this conversation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a great day. Good morning, Trillium. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
Thanks so much for the program.
You're welcome.
And I was listening while you were talking about Homer Williams' Harbor of Hope.
Yes, yes.
So I'm one of the co-founders of Right to Dream, too, along with a group of people who were houseless and formerly houseless who started that just over 8 years ago. And I recently saw that Homer Williams was receiving public funding. And, you know, we are still being funded by the community, just like KBOO, completely.
Right.
We had 1 year of operating expenses from a pool of money that was actually Homer Williams bought the parking lot that we were going to move into.
Right.
And that's where Harbor of Hope is now. So I just wanted to provide that context for people and also let folks know that we are raising money on a GoFundMe page for our operating expenses.
So, you know, I can't do that on cable. I can't use cable to raise money for other folks.
But I can't
even let you slip that in. But you're near and dear to my heart, because I believe any self-managed camp is the best thing on the planet. We have no public issues with camps where people self-organize and they decide what the rules are. And so I want to appreciate the work that you've been doing, and other folks who are managing camps all across the city of Portland.
Yeah, and I would just encourage people to come check it out, because yes, we do need the public support in many ways, not just fundraising, but, you know.
Well, they need to see it, right? They need to see it, and that demystifies what's really taking place, right?
Yeah, and we're always open to people coming for tours and stuff, but I think that knowing the history about what's happening as well,
yes,
is pretty important.
Oh, yes. When I saw that news conference that they did about Wapato, I thought I was going to lose my mind. I went, oh, no, they are not. They are not trying to pretend it somehow is government's fault that they can't have this dream campus at a cost of $20 to $40 million a year. Right?
The costs are astronomical for those kind of projects. And when we organize in the community together, we can take care of people's basic needs. It's not the ideal. We'd like to see a lot better for everybody, but when it comes down to it, everybody needs sleep. They need a safe place to be.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so, so much. In fact, was it this week? Somebody was actually doing a presentation soon on how sleep deprivation impacts people's day-to-day lives. And I think that that's going to be a really illuminating conversation that takes place. I think it's going to happen like in the next week or so.
I saw something about that too, and I encourage people to learn as much as they can about those things, because when you see somebody and you don't know why, you know, their behavior is such,
right,
and people assume it's drug use and stuff, sleep deprivation, traumatic brain injury, there's so much people need to learn about.
That is so true. Thank you so, so much for calling me, and you have a fabulous day.
And thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And so, in closing, I'm out of here in just about a minute, but in closing, I just want to say I just love, love, love coming to KBOO when I can. I will always be part of the KBOO family. I wish I could be here every Thursday, but my day job keeps me a little busy. But I tell you, if I can't be here, you will know that I will be here as soon as I possibly can on the next scheduled day. I love KBOO. I want KBOO to survive another 50 years at least. And I want to make sure that people understand that community radio is such a vital thing. Without community radio, we would be so, so, so much less informed. I am Joanne Hardesty, and I hope you have an absolutely fabulous day.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that bitter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Sky. Take away everything and make everybody high. But if you know what life is worth, you would look for yours unhurt. And now you see the light, you stand up for your rights. Yeah. Get up, stand up,
jab, jab.
Stand up for your rights.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 8:59. Coming up next is Press Watch. Teresa Mitchell returns and has an interview with Green Party presidential primary candidate Howie Hawkins. At 9:30, it's Fight the Empire with Per Fagering, and at 10, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, you'll hear Between the Covers, and 11:30, it's Express Yourself. Don't forget that you can hear all of these programs after they air on KBOO.fm or on iTunes and Google Play. And if you want a third way to listen to all your favorite KBOO programming, then take an opportunity to download our mobile app today.
Community Radio is hiring a public affairs director to manage public affairs programming, ensuring that it is of the highest quality and consistent with the KBOO programming charter. For this 32 hours position, we are looking for someone with production experience, experience in community radio, who has communication and training skills, and the ability to work independently in a fast-paced work environment. KBOO Community Radio is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. Deadline to apply is Friday, October 25th at 5 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm/PADHire2019.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. I'm in the studio with Howie Hawkins of the Green Party, and I'm going to be talking to him in just about 5 minutes. First, I want to go to my usual headlines and commentary. And I want to say that I'm glad to be back in Portland. I've been traveling by car